This statement is one of the profound spiritual truths revealed by the Master. Master, while discussing the problem of disappointment in the progress we make in sadhana, makes this statement. Master makes a simple and pithy summary of his system. And actually, I'm going to quote Babaji here, has said, God is quite plain and simple, devoid of everything, not to speak of any solidity. So it is absolutely necessary for us to free ourselves from grossness and solidity in order to achieve Him. The solidity comes in by the effect of our own thoughts, actions and surroundings. Our thoughts must therefore be regulated, and the individual mind must be thoroughly disciplined so as to clear off the weight settled in. We should become as light as possible so that a single breath of the Master may put us in the highest possible flight. He says further, in our samsta, the reality is infused into the abhyasi at the very first stroke. It serves as a seed for further growth, which under the watchful eye of the Master goes on developing, unaffected by the scorching heat of the adverse circumstances. But it remains for you to keep on watering it by your constant remembrance, which is the only instrument to ensure speedy progress in spirituality. We must go on with speedy steps, not resting even for a moment till we have attained the goal. When we have got the right path, we must stick to it firmly and not be away from it at any cost. As we find some difficulty in facing the problems of life, we tend to swerve from the chosen path and choose all sorts of alternatives which are admittedly grosser, explaining such deviations with all the rationalizations we can muster. Master firmly states that all sorts of grosser means and mechanical practices should be given up. When we find ourselves growing lighter and lighter day by day, we must conclude that we are proceeding right towards that which is the lightest and subtlest. Thus, while giving clue to understand our condition of following the correct and right path, he affirms that we must never be disappointed of the divine grace. God is the supreme master, and his will must be carried out in every respect. We should think ourselves to be bankrupt and remain ever busy with worship and devotion, not minding the interruptions and disturbances that happen to come in our way. Because of not following the simple commandments of the Master in our life, we find the disturbances to be such as to eitherly stop or totally give up sadhana, as saying that the system is beyond our capacity. This is nothing but the result of not having the required determination. Master states that we should never be disheartened, thinking that our puja cannot be carried on regularly on account of inner disturbances, which I put down as the barking of dogs. The dogs shall never stop barking, even though you give them a good thrashing. Let the dogs bark, but the elephant goes on, paying no heed to him. If possible, you may better train the dogs so that they may not bark to disturb you in your puja. But for that you have to adopt proper means to mend their irregular habits. This is possible by following the simple and plain system of the Master. I have included this sentence in the quotation. If you apply physical force to stop their barking, there is danger of their becoming violent and offensive. Therefore, it is better to show them that their barking shall not be a disturbance to you. When it comes up to this, their barking will eventually subside. Further, if you had taken care of it earlier, their barking might never have come to effect at all. In short, we have only to train them so that they might by themselves come up to proper regulation and discipline. The only way for that would be to raise ourselves to the level where they may also begin to take the effect of our inner state of mind. That means a spiritual elevation to the level at which even animals may begin to take in the effect. This is the actual purpose served in the long run by the practice of meditation. Master adds that barking of dogs refers to unregulated activities of the mind and the indriyas which can easily be set right by meditation and remembrance. Thoughts during meditation and also at other times can be barking at us and disturbing. The point to note is that thoughts can take, and most of the times do take, a form. Not only our thoughts take form, they also upset our form most of the time if unregulated. If unregulated, we think of the same thought over and over again, and it becomes strong and tends to become a trend. The greater the number of times we think about the same thought, the greater the matter it forms. The more we hold to these thoughts and do not allow the flow of thought as it moves in a cyclical manner, the matter gets frozen to create a scope for stagnation. It's a simple law of physics that recurring thoughts are strong patterns of energy. So they naturally create some sort of matter, and any matter is a form. Thus, the thoughts which were once felt as a mist becomes deep and heavy like a fog. I once saw the condition of an aspirant given to the grosser forms of worship, so meshed up with dark and heavy thought forms that his head appeared to be a swarm, and the thoughts were stingy enough that I had to wait for quite a few months to clean his heart using many methods given by the master. It must be stated, to the credit of the aspirant, that he was terribly depressed with the type of worships he was doing, and being unable to get out of them, was also angry with himself and the various deities he was worshipping. The solution to this type of problem is hard work of cleaning by the aspirant, aided by the cleaning done by the trainer through pranahuti and absolute faith in the grace of God. It should be noted that all this work happens in the prana sharira, or the vital body. The thoughts that disturb us during meditation and also at other times, most related to fear and anger. I shall dwell briefly on these two forms of pain in the prana sharira or vital body. There is fear all around nowadays, all that is due to lack of security, real as well as imaginary. After the serious setbacks in the world economy recently, the main feeling of the majority is that the end is near, or the end has already come. The main thought wave that is circumambulating the atmosphere nowadays is fear. Pretty sure it is not the end of life, but the end of life as we know it. From the enlightened point of view, this will appear as something that has to happen in the cyclical nature of events. From the Gandhian point of view, this situation is what we have bargained for. It is the result of our collective neglect and procrastination in dealing with our economic overindulgence, Nelson's eye to corporate corruption, not my problem attitude towards drugs and violence. It is necessary to know that the pattern of the world's condition begins in the patterns of our own behavior and beliefs. As long as we continue to hang on to the attitudes and actions that created our current predicament, we will continue to experience turmoil. Turmoil, chaos, uncertainty, changes, etc. are all signals of an old way that is passing away and a new way being birthed. First the pain and then the joy. The degree of pain we experience is completely proportional to our level of resistance to the necessary and irresistible shift that is happening. Pain is always caused by resistance to what is. It is essentially in the realm of prana sharira that we feel pain. It is time we wake up and recognize the unconscious path we have blindly trodden. We would do well to return to our human and spiritual roots and be truly grateful to the soul-breathing basics of life. Nowadays, everyone feels something is missing. Most of us are likely to think it is our awareness of our life's purpose. I think it is something even more fundamental than that. I think we have forgotten our interdependent connection to life itself. Our true nature gets revealed to us in the natural path as not the users and consumers we have been, but that we are divine caretakers and benefactors of the world we live and move in. The prayer given to all humanity by the Master to be offered at 9 p.m. is essentially directed to make us live in that plane of consciousness of benefactors of the world, which may even be termed as Sri Ramchandra consciousness. Indeed, a great goal to live. I may even call this real sanity. Gratitude comes from being of service to a worthy cause, not from grabbing everything in our way. If we release what is necessarily passing away, the pain will stop and we will awaken to an opportunity to reconnect to our source and each other. To the awakened, pain is a phenomena not of the physical body, but the vital body. My associates who are doctors inform me that many a case is recorded where the pain is felt in the limb that is not there due to amputation or otherwise lost. This should be enough reason to accept that it is the prana sarira that feels pain. We are not in destructive times, as the news would have us believe. We are halfway down the birth canal